Now, will you notice verse 21? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Now, he did all of this in the presence of those disciples and kept them waiting. Why? Well, for a reason. Verse 22, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In other words, he says, you go back and tell John that what you've seen is the fulfillment of prophecy concerning the Messiah. And if you want to check that, go to the 35th of Isaiah, for it says that the lame will leap and the blind will have their eyes open. And he says, you go back and tell him you've seen the credentials of the Messiah. That's very important. I think that one of the most illuminating statements from the lips of our Lord is, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He asks for our faith when we cannot understand, friends. And he says, you go back and tell John, I'm not moving as fast as he'd like for me to. Actually, he's fulfilled his mission, and I have now presented my credentials. But in the presence of intellectual difficulties, he says to John, you believe. And he says that to you and me today. He asks us to trust him. And while the intelligentsia is still waiting for the interpretation, he keeps them waiting while he goes to those whose hearts are open. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it's the power of God. You know, your doubts are not a sign you're smart. They're a sign that you're very foolish, and it's a sign you don't know everything. It's a sign that you belong to a group which are perishing. The learned professors sit in swivel chairs in dusty and musty libraries, far removed from life and human need, and they write about the intellectual difficulties of accepting the Bible and the deity of Christ and the blood redemption. And those same professors, when they had a little trouble on campus, didn't know how to solve that. Since they can't handle modern problems, I don't know whether they know very much about what took place 1900 years ago. I'll still go along with the Word of God. While five men who purport to be atheists, you remember back in World War II, they get in a rubber raft in the middle of the Pacific, and they spent 20 days out on the face of the water, and they were brought face to face with God. And it was amazing, their intellectual difficulties evaporated, and not one of them got off of that raft after 20 days an atheist. I wish I could put some of these professors out in a raft on the Pacific. I think that would be better than giving them a Ph.D. degree. My friend, that's a tremendous thing that took place, you see. Now, let's look a little farther at John here. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began, the Lord Jesus, to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out unto the wilderness for to see a reed shaken with the wind? Well, he wasn't a reed shaken with the wind. John was a wind shaken reeds. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Not John. He was rugged. He was rough, if you please. Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. That's the reason David wasn't so sure about Solomon, because Solomon was a pantywaist raised in the women's court and wore nice little Prince Albert clothes, little Lord Fauntleroy. And David, when he was dying, he actually didn't want to make him king, but he was God's choice, and David said to him, be a man. And that was pretty hard for Solomon to do, by the way.